Let's go to Numbers 15. Now I'm going to skip some verses that, you know, we're 2:15, verse 1. But I'm as I said earlier with other parts, I'm not going through the sacrificial system that is presented in these books, because for this particular study, we're going more through historical matters and drawing principles from that. So I'm skipping down to verse 32, although we'll look at some of the things that came before. 15, Numbers 15, 32. Now while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Let's pray. Lord, as your word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but that fools despise wisdom and instruction. But to fear you, Lord, is good for us. It is glorifying to you. It is to your glory when we do it. But Lord, what a disrespect we have for your law in our land. It is not a serious matter to depart from what you say to this generation. But it is your kindness, Lord, to us that you give us passages like this that show us how serious it is to you. So we're asking, Lord, for the fear of the Lord and the wisdom that comes from it. In Jesus' name, amen. As far as laws go, we grade laws and put a value on laws. Jaywalking is a lower value law. You might call that a misdemeanor or just a common violation of some kind. Murder is a capital offense. Murder is rated and valued at a higher place. Now that valuation is made partly from God in our society, because the laws we have started in the Bible, whether people want to admit that, and from God's law, but also partly of man. And the only way laws can be valued is by authority. We can't ourselves put on our society laws, civil laws or criminal laws, that we ourselves think should be laws. But once a person is elected, once a person is authorized to be in charge of this, they have the right to value laws. And I'm not saying they're always right in their valuation, because many times they are not right. They do not realize that God is the beginning of all this and the foundation of all this. And a lot of people get into authority and they just beat people with laws. They make laws that are absolutely nothing but nanny kind of laws, trying to make themselves feel important by making laws or trying to govern society in a strict manner by regulations. For example, a town recently, they have a a law that you have to keep your grass cut a certain way. And so there's that law, and a man arranged to have his grass cut while he was away caring for a relative who was sick. But while he was gone, the person who was employed for that purpose quit. And the man was still away, and he stayed away until his loved one passed. And then he came back. And the city gave him a bill for $30,000 of a fine. $500 a day for not having his grass cut. And rather than be ashamed of themselves, the city felt that that was the proper thing even after it came to light. I'm not sure how it ever got discharged. Hopefully somebody with a brain came in and got in charge of something. But you see, in that case, the law has been valued of cutting grass, has been valued above a lot of things which I'm sure a lot of felonies would not have taken that big of a fine. So the authority could be wrong, but when they're in authority, they have the right to value laws. Our society has valued murder as okay as long as you get the victim before they get out of the womb. Once they're out of the womb, we're working on that part. They're getting it a little bit out of the womb now, but not like a year or two down the road. So our society has valued the law of murder, and they valued it down. Of course, straws and using straws in California, places like that, plastic straws, they valued that up. Before long, they'll pass each other. Murder going down, straws going up. So by their authority, they are violating then the laws of God. And the most common laws that are devalued are any laws that have a religious connection or a Christian connection. Blue laws, got to throw those out. That was, don't sell beer on Sunday. Why not? That was a church thing. Got to get rid of that. Or any kind of favoritism toward Sunday. So the bent of society is always to devalue laws of God and to, a lot of times, up the value of man-made laws. That's the way sins are excused. To devalue a law and make it like you're not doing anything wrong. A couple decides to live together, don't get married, or, you know, well, you know, we love each other. That's the thing. Or a homosexual couple says, you know, we're engaged in homosexuality, but we're not hurting anybody at all by it. Or people say, I'm not going to trust in Jesus, but I'm a good person. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing good deeds. So how serious are the laws of God, really? If men are all the time editing them to make it look like they're okay if they violate them. Because every law of God in our society, this was the thing that happened first in the garden. When God confronted Adam, he pushed it to Eve. And God confronted Eve, she pushed it to the snake. And you want to get the blame off of yourself. So how serious is it? Are we able to do that? Well, I don't go to church, but I worship in my own way out on the golf course. Or just out doing my own thing. I'm not bad. I know a lot of church people. You hear this all the time. Yeah, I don't go to church, but I know a lot of church people, a whole lot more wicked than me. Hey, I do too. So how serious is it? Well, here in this passage, a very, very little thing. It wouldn't even rise to a misdemeanor in our day. It's not illegal in our day. A man on the Sabbath day is gathering wood. That is it. There's a context here that's important, I believe. If you'll back up a little bit to 21 or 22. The first part of this chapter, the Lord tells Moses about sacrifices that are to be made for sin. You know, all the sacrifices were looking toward Jesus. And so sacrifices were made to atone for sin. Offerings were made that pointed to Jesus. Until Jesus came, this is what people had to do to temporarily forego the wrath of God. God putting up with sin as it looked toward Christ. And it was the same for all the aliens or citizens. But there was a difference. Look in verse 22. But when you unwittingly fail and do not observe all these commandments which the Lord has spoken to Moses, even all that the Lord has commanded you through Moses from the day when the Lord gave commandment and onward through your generations, then it shall be, if it is done unintentionally, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one bull for a burnt offering as a soothing aroma to the Lord, with its grain offering and its drink offering according to the ordinance, and one male goat for a sin offering. Then the priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and they will be forgiven, for it was an error. And they have brought their offering, an offering by fire to the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their error. So all the congregation of the sons of Israel will be forgiven. With the alien who sojourns among them, for it happened to all the people through error. In other words, they didn't mean to. They sinned unintentionally. It was an honest mistake, as we call that. It was accidental. It really was in this case. It was not premeditated. It was not with the intent to rebel. It was a sin that was, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, and so it's still a sin. Verse 27, also, if one person sins unintentionally, then he shall offer a one-year-old female goat for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who goes astray when he sins unintentionally, making atonement for him that he may be forgiven. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the sons of Israel, and for the alien who sojourns among them. So people who sin unintentionally, they don't realize in their sin nature and with the ways of the world all around them, a lot of people do things they don't even know are sins. And once it's brought to their attention that it's sinful, it's still sinful. The lack of knowledge that it's sinful doesn't make it not sinful. If that were the case, we could keep everybody stupid and not sin ever. But sin is sin, so unintentional sin that affects the whole nation, dealt with above, unintentional sin of an individual is dealt with. But, verse 30, the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is a native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt will be on him. Now, obviously, the guy gathering wood falls into the latter category. He knew what he was doing. He may have been negligent, but the Ten Commandments were given very clearly to the children of Israel. The fourth one, he's out there trodden on while he gathers wood. So his sin is defiance. It is intentional. He knew what he was doing. He was given revelation by God about that. If one law has been greatly emphasized to the Jews, it was the Sabbath law. And remember, the Sabbath day was made for the benefit of man. It's only the twisted sin nature that we have that makes what God does for us something we think God is doing against us. So people try to get around the Sabbath day then and any kind of Lord's Day now. But the Sabbath day was meant to get people to remember that God made them and rested the seventh day. That's completely lost in our society. That is a very valuable lesson, that people know God made them. If God didn't make them and they really did come up from the ground or up from a pool or something, they have no responsibility toward God. They weren't made by God. They're on their own. All morality really is pretty much subjective. But God made us, so that is something to remember. They've lost it in the educational system. They've lost it in the schools for sure, all around. People don't think about it anymore. People are embarrassed to be a creationist. I'd be embarrassed to be an evolutionist. But today it's, they don't know. People don't know. People don't think about that. So it was made to keep people in touch with God. It was to keep them from being overly commercial. If you start making money on Sunday back then, the first day of the week, and you make money Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, man, by Friday, we are making the money. It's been a great week. Let's just keep the ball rolling. You don't want to stop. Because I remember when I found out when I was a kid that you could actually walk along the road and pick up bottles and turn them in and get 2 cents per bottle. I was a new person for about 2 weeks. I looked everywhere around, everybody was picking up bottles, taking them in, making a good 89 cents or something. And it was like money. They're throwing money on the side of the road. And I was picking them. Of course, there's no bottles now. Beer bottles, I guess. But we'd picked up those Pepsi bottles and Coke bottles and turn them in. Well, the nature of our sin is that we grab the world and then we just swallow it and it swallows us. So we're all about work and all about commercial enterprise. And then we are greedy, and that is idolatry. And so we lose sight of God. And the Sabbath observance was to get people to break from their normal routine of working and rest. And have a time to focus on the Lord and keep your mind, not that you have to, don't have to do that during the week too and keep your mind focused, but you got a whole day there that's the Lord. It's a Sabbath day. It's a rest day. It's in commemoration of the Lord resting on the seventh day. Keep the people's mind right. So it was a good thing. But it hampered the style of those who were out for money, pleasure, who just wanted to make more or have it be a normal day. So this guy, and you remember during the manna thing, manna 6 days, you get twice as much on the sixth day. You don't have to go out on the seventh day. So what people do on the seventh day? Went right out there and started gathering. And they said, you better get back in your house. So that's the way they are. They had the manna. They want to make sure they're not trusting the Lord, not believing the Lord. They don't think they have enough food, whatever it is. So the seventh day has been very clear, the Sabbath day. So it's a good thing. And it's set in stone. One of the Ten Commandments on the first table of the law that has to do with commands toward God. It keeps your relationship with God right. So this guy's out there gathering wood, which is not, on the surface, a very serious thing. I can just hear people today. You mean God told the children of Israel to stone a man because he was out gathering wood on the Sabbath day? Yep. Well, who did he hurt? Who did he hurt while he was out there gathering wood? Who was he bothering? And isn't it logical? Maybe he needed wood to cook or to stay warm, or his kids were cold and needed to build a fire. It's a chore. He's not doing anything he loves to do. He wouldn't do this if he didn't have to do it. No Nobody likes to gather wood. Just to gather wood. No, there's a chore to it. It's a little thing. Talk about twigs here. It's not anything to be bent out of shape over. He'll rest on Monday. He got another day he can pay it back on Monday, and we don't need to get all upset about that. He can go on Monday. He can rest on Monday when he's got a fire going and he's warm and he's chummy there by the fire, and then he can rest. He didn't realize what he was doing. He was not really a religious thinker, a church person. He doesn't burden his mind down with religious laws. And you can't be over dogmatic about religious laws. I mean, it's not like an important law that men made. He should be free to gather wood anytime he wants to. It's a freedom thing. And you know God didn't really mean what he said. You know he didn't really mean that you couldn't work on the Sabbath day. He was just trying to keep it from being too rampant. You could go on and on, people trying to nullify the law of God. So they go to the Lord. And it's interesting that although it was clear, in many cases it was wrong, and you had these people go out and see him and wonder what they were supposed to do after the instruction given above. They didn't know what to do. Verse 34 said, not been declared what should be done to him. And so the Lord passes sentence. He shall surely be put to death. In fact, by the whole congregation. He has sinned against the whole congregation in that he is doing what will lead the congregation to be carnal and worldly. A nation that becomes unaware of who made us and who we're responsible to, number one. And that being the Lord. Our culture is that way. Who made us, and every day is the same. The Lord said to take him outside the camp and stone him with stones. So they did that. Verse 36, all the congregation brought him outside the camp, stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, that just happened. Next Sabbath day comes around, guy's sitting around, he's cold. And he's got some wood together. Any way he might not go out? You don't put it past people. But that is to put the fear of the Lord into people. That is important. Because you see what this guy's doing right away is he's devaluing the law of God. Oh, yeah, well, I know what you said, Lord, but I'm cold. We got things to cook. I've got to go out. Now, back then, the Sabbath day was much more rigid. The Lord's day is a lot more free. But you see that the attitude there would be the same in both cases, is that you look at the Sabbath day or the Lord's day as a burden. And the Lord doesn't really mean it. It's not important. It's not like something that Congress passes. So he just did it. And it's serious. And it is the most natural thing that people do all the time, is to say it's not such a bad thing. He's not such a bad person. You know, he doesn't go to church, he doesn't believe in Jesus, but he's not such a bad person. The Bible says he's sinning against God. He's done a great evil. He's committed blasphemy against the Lord. He's done all sorts of awful things, and it affects the society. People start that, and it just like wildfire. So they put an end to it there with him. Not that Israel became righteous. But right there you see how important it is that God, you keep the laws of God. So the Lord then, verse 37, speaks to Moses and tells him that the sons of Israel shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. What the blue and all that is, it's not really the issue. But to put a tassel there, and the tassel is to be a reminder, should be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you play the harlot. The tassel was there, sewn on the clothing, so that people would make an identification of that with the laws of God. Oh, yep, you got to remember the laws of God. The law in Proverbs is said that you need to put it right between your eyes. They took it literally with some people today wear a little box up on their forehead. That's really not the intention. But these tassels were on the clothing. So, and they reminded you to be careful that you keep the laws of God. Because that guy wasn't. What did that guy do? We see in verse 39 what he did. That you not follow after your own heart and your own eyes. People justify everything they do based on what they think and what they see. It seems right to me. How many people are lost, have no hope of heaven? God has said they will not be saved unless they believe in Him. And yet they think they're okay. They think they're just absolutely fine. They've considered the matter. They don't believe in Jesus, but they do believe in God. And they do good things, and they don't do bad things. So, there we go. And in their mind, they are resting their eternity on what they think in their heart and what they see with their own eyes, what they evaluate within themselves. And that is the way people like to live. They like to make an evaluation. After they make the evaluation, I've seen it so many times, it's just so much, so natural to us. We make the evaluation, and then we say, seems sensible to me now. I thought about it, it seems sensible to do this. Churches are, I'm assuming somebody sat down up in Greenville one time, and they said, you know, we got these laws that people are beating us on the head about homosexuality and how it's wrong, and we got a church that we're building up here, and we want to be compassionate and loving, and we want to be welcoming of people. We don't want to be judgmental. So let's, what do you think about not following that law? And emphasizing the church that we're open to that kind of lifestyle, and we welcome you. And somebody sat there going, you know, now that you put it out that way, I think that's a brilliant idea. Let's do that. Everything starts like that. You know, there's a woman back there that I've heard her give a testimony. She can preach. We need to get her in the pulpit. I know what the Bible says about that. But you know, in this case, she is really good. So, here they come. And what church is not... It's not off the beaten path with something. They're ordaining homosexuals. The Catholic Church has got this whole thing about not getting married and married to the church and all that stuff and the nuns that way. And that's just so unbiblical. But, you know, they sat down one day and they said, you know, that really seems right to me. And this is the way it goes. When you can look in the Bible and say, you know, there it is. Kids are being encouraged today. You know, what do you want to be? You want to be a woman? You want to be a man? You want to be fluid in the middle somewhere? Well, used to be, parents would bring the law down and say, here, let me show you this biology book I got here. Let me show you what you are. And they would point out to the child what they were, and they would be told what they were. And there it was. But now people go, you know, what is it? Well, whose right is it to tell me what I am? man or woman. I should be able to be whatever I want to be. So, you got men now who are winning track meets because they came out and declared themselves to be women. And, you know, they still got the same bone structure and all that stuff going on, and they go, whew, and the girls go, shh, and you can't catch them. It's not because there aren't fast girls. It's because guys are built differently. And here we are going, you know, I think it'd be really nice if everybody was just the same. Yeah. People do that, and that's where we get off. So that's just what he says to do. Put the tassels on your garment to remind you not to follow your own heart and your own eyes. And you remember to do all the commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. In other words, I'm God, you're not. Yet every day in our government, state, local, federal, people are sitting down and they're deciding to push something that violates the law of God because they just do not fear the law of God. They've devalued it way down, and they've taken their own laws and they have pumped them up with gold and value them higher. That's the way it is. And it seems right to them. And so here we are. We see what the Lord thinks about it. By the way, the tassel thing turned into a formalistic, legalistic thing with the Pharisees. The tassels. Put the tassels on your garments to remind you to keep the law of God. Well, the Pharisees would make them bigger. Jesus said in Matthew 23:5, but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. Phylacteries, those little boxes. The tassels, they don't just have the tassels. They've got the ponytail-sized tassels. Because they want people to see that they're paying attention to the law of God. And they put those little boxes, and they make those boxes even bigger and they put verses in them. And they want people to know that they are really serious. But see, by then, the Pharisees had used it just to promote self-righteousness. And it wasn't for remembering the Lord. It was to show up, show off, exemplify their own righteousness, which was sinful too. More so, even. So this is what the Lord emphasized to them. To spare the nation, to spare the individual, this terrible demise that we get to when we follow after the counsel of our own heart. Any thoughts or questions?